Hey, 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 what's up, y'all? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk With Sam Podcast. What? Just Talk With Sam Podcast. Oh, we have a tremendously big podcast with a great guest, and that is Valerie Vandepan. Now, many people may know my guest, especially in the Detroit area, as the editor-in-chief of, you know, the Metro Times. However, this young lady has a great pedigree, and she has done a lot of cool stuff, whether that be ranging from some of the articles she put out with the Boston Globe, the Boston Phoenix, the Harvard Gazette, Star Tribune, High Times, and many other publications. So when she came on and she wanted to be, well, we extended the invite for her to be on the podcast, it's a no-brainer. We gotta have a person of this magnitude on this podcast. And we get a chance to sit across from the Duchess herself, and we get a chance to ask a few questions. For starters, why she named the Duchess? Some things she liked. What is it like being in Detroit? What is it like running, you know, a major publication in Detroit? And we get into this podcast. It's one of my favorites. I know I'm saying this. It's one of my favorites in the recent future because it's awesome. So we're going to get into all of that in just a second where we sit down and kick it. But first, as always, we got to pay some bills. I want to say thanks to all the people who went to samshownation.com, went on the home or current promotions page, and hit the donate button. By doing that, look, this has always been a crowdsourced podcast, and you guys gave a chance so we can keep going and growing and having great guests that I can sit across from and drink a fruit smoothie while she has a tea, and we sit around and we can do these things. And it's thanks to people like you. By hitting that donate button on the homepage or current promotions page, you guys are knocking out a lot of cool stuff that we're doing, paying for mics, paying for server space, getting us a chance for us to go out and do cool things, and we return it back to you guys on the podcast. If you haven't done it, go to samshownation.com, click the donate button on the homepage, current promotions page, and give whatever makes you feel like a good person. It's called a donate, and we try to do everything that we can to use those funds appropriately to give back to the podcast to make a bigger, better, badder show for you guys. So, go to samshownation.com, homepage, current promotions page. If you're there already, you already gave, and you don't want to feel like a big man, but you want to show your love a little bit more to the Just Talk With Sam podcast, you can always go to samshownation.com, click the store link. By doing that, you can get some of the t-shirts, like the new Flip Yellow tee, the We Can't Make This Ish Up tee, the Sam Show logo tee, Non-Threatening Black Man, and for my ladies, the Women's Kiss tee. Or, if you want, you can grab some stickers. Just Talking With Sam stickers. People love stickers. Some old school episodes. Or, for my Apple people, you can always get the iTunes app. The iTunes app gives you a chance to subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. If you own iTunes, you get a little behind-the-scenes feature. You guys are not missing any podcast. You get it the day of it happens by subscribing. You ain't even got to do anything. You just wake up and it's there. And it's completely free by going to samshownation.com. You can also, if you're on iTunes and you already subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. You know, click a like, leave a review, say what you liked about the podcast, say what you didn't like, whatever. Subscribe, rate, and review. We welcome it, and that's one thing we can do. And for my people who are not exactly Apple people, you can, whatever form of media you want, we are on the TuneIn app. All forms of media. I don't know what type of phone you have, but let's say you're not an iPhone person. Let's say you don't want to find us on iTunes. You can get the TuneIn app and you can see all the podcasts totally available. Go to the Just Talk With Sam channel or Stitcher. We're also on Stitcher and you can go via that way and you can thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever podcast that you like the most. Or as always, you can go to samshownation.com. to go back and find whatever podcast you like. Like I said, we got to pay some bills. First bill we got to pay, we got some sponsors. First sponsor we have are the good folks at Mangrate. What's a Mangrate, you ask? Mangrate. Look, tomorrow is Labor Day. Now, Labor Day is awesome, but a lot of people grill on Labor Day. One thing you can do, go to samshownation.com, click the Man Great Link, and you can get the ultimate grilling accessory to grill juicy, perfectly cooked steak, chicken, fish, veggies, whatever you feel like putting on your grill. The Man Great has signature grill marks for a professional look and taste, even heat, reduced flare-ups, easy cleaning. Easy cleaning, I know this because if you go to SamShowNation.com, click the Man Great link, I personally will throw in a Man Great brush just to make sure your Man Great, what you do on that grill, stay clean. Nobody wants dirty utensils, and that's how you got to do it with the Man Great. Each Man Great measures about 15 inches long, 4 feet wide, and it's a good chance for you to get that steakhouse quality flavor and anything you grill. Steakhouse, and you get perfect, and quite honestly, for my patrons, made in America. Made in America! You can get that by getting Man Great by going to SamShowNation.com, clicking the Man Great link, and getting yourself a Man Great. So please do so. Also, second sponsor we got is the good folks at Finish Line. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you should know that school is right around the corner. And you can get your back-to-school gear right now. You can be the freshest person in your class by going to SamShowNation.com on the current promotions page, hitting the Finish Line link. And man, if you do that, it's free shipping on thousands of styles. Whatever you want to do, whether you want to look cool for school, hey, NFL just started. You can get your fan gear. College football is in play. You can get the tail end of Major League Baseball. I'm a Detroit fan. My guess, like the Mets, kind of like the Yankees. Yeah, a little soft on the Red Sox. We'll find out about that later. But you can get all of that stuff at FinishLine.com. The only thing we ask you to do, go to SamShowNation.com on the current promotions page, click the Finish Line link, shop as you normally would. And last, and certainly not least, let's say you don't go to Finish Line or you don't get the Man Great, you don't feel like grilling. One thing I know you're going to do because of the internet, you don't go here anyway, you can go click the Amazon link. Go to SamShowNation.com, click the Amazon link on the homepage, the current promotions page, and get whatever else it is to get. The internet was built for a few things. One of those is shopping. One of those is Amazon. Please go to Amazon. You can go to Amazon and get whatever else you need for college. You don't feel like looking good. You can get DVDs. Personally, I just bought, ladies and gentlemen, My Name is Paul Heyman. I got the DVD box set, and I get a chance to sit down and I can watch Paul Heyman. I can sit down. I can do a lot of things with Amazon. All I'm saying is shop as you normally would, and by doing that, we get a little bit kickback to the podcast. I ain't gonna lie to you. And you were going to go there anyway. We make a bigger, better, badder podcast by doing so, and you get whatever you get. It's not gonna cost you more. May even cost you less. So go to SamShowNation.com, click the Amazon link. My people, go ahead and do so. Keep the podcast rolling, and we get awesome guests like my guest, Valerie Vandy Pan. Now, that's enough of my yapping right now. What I'm about to do, I'm going to reset these mics a little bit. And next time you hear my voice, I'll be sitting across from the editor-in-chief of the Metro Times herself, Valerie Vandy Pan. See you in a few. This is Just Talk with Sam Podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam Podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
review on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all that's listening, we never write this out.
All right. Valerie Vandepan, thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for saying my name correctly. I appreciate that.
I got to be honest, I practiced that on the drive here. I wanted to make sure, you know, like, yeah, bad start, you know. You know what's weird? I'm interviewing a journalist, so it's kind of... like, as laid back as I am, it will probably serve me right to do a little bit of homework. It's almost like usually I do very minimal homework, enough where I'm not ignorant of whoever I'm sitting across from, but, you know, I don't want it to come off like I'm just reading Google to you, if that makes sense.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. But that's enough about me. Let's talk about you a little bit. Mainly because you are the editor-in-chief of one of my favorite weekly sports reads. I mean, not just sports, it's just reads. Mainly because, I kind of said this on the phone. I don't know why I'm getting nervous, which is weird. But, I said this on the phone, like, a while ago, you were appointed editor-in-chief to Metro Times. And quite honestly, I have to say, you are doing a hell of a job.
Which
is great and kind of surprising to me because, sorry to say it like that, because you're not a native Detroiter. So usually your native Detroiters, we got that, like, this is, I guess, a testament to your skill as a whole, where it's just kind of like, you know what you're doing. And this is a compliment, believe it or not. This is a compliment.
I believe it. That sounds very nice.
But at the same time, it's like, we were going through, and I say we as a city, your job, a transition between Real Detroit, Metro Times, the merger was happening, it was a lot of loose talk, and two publications I used to read daily, and now you made this big mega magazine, which I read more than, I would say, the Free Press or the Detroit News, mainly because it's like a no bullshit filter of what you guys have. If this is becoming over flattering, please stop me.
I receive it. Thank you.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, you're kind of new to this area as well. So, and to do that a while ago, you've only been here what, 4 or 5 months?
4 months.
Please let me know what it is to be an outsider and running one of the you gotta know in the know papers that publications or media as a whole in Detroit. How does that feel?
It feels great.
Please elaborate.
It feels fantastic. I feel thankful and so much gratitude for being here in Detroit and for being at Metro Times. I feel blessed, and it just feels good.
Okay. Now, I looked at it from a lot of different angles, and quite honestly, I think the angle that I looked at it as, this is more of a almost jealous in a way, because think of it, you're kind of new here. You're let's test your newness. We play games on the show. Let's test how new to you to Detroit. Let's just test it. Okay. Let's just give a backstory, a quick backstory, because I go Tarantino style on this podcast where I don't tell the story from origin. Well, you grew up in this blah 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 blah. Anyway, you're from Boston.
No, I'm originally from Michigan.
Really?
Yes, sir. I grew up in Greenville, which is about an hour north of Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And I left when I was kind of young.
Mm-hmm.
I went to New York City.
Okay.
I spent most of my formative years there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Boston.
Okay, got it. Well, a lot of your accolades and a lot of, like, this is why I don't read Google to you, because I didn't know that. A lot of your stuff on Google, and when you look yourself up, it's more Boston-based.
Right. I went to Boston I don't recall exactly the year. I think it was either 2008 or 2009. I think it was 2009.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was 2009 when I went there the first time. And I moved up there because I wanted to attend Harvard University. I wanted to take classes at Harvard. So I decided I didn't want to commute. I had considered commuting. And I decided it was too far and too much of a chance to get stuck in Connecticut for too long.
Okay.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. So I went up to Boston. It was very hard for me to leave New York, to be honest. And I did it. I took a class at Harvard. It was the first class I took was History of the Blues in America.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic class. And I was freelance writing, and I started pitching the Boston Phoenix. And the Boston Phoenix really liked my work, and they started publishing me regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got connected with the Harvard Gazette, which is a publication that is produced by Harvard, and it covers all the different schools of Harvard.
Got it.
And there's a lot of very seasoned journalists who left publications like Reuters, Gannett, the Boston Globe, Boston Herald. Real seasoned journalists.
Yeah, this is the real deal.
Who left their positions and went to work for Harvard for this publication.
Okay.
So I started freelancing with them, and it was just fantastic to work with such seasoned individuals, people who really come from a long tradition of really good journalism. So between Harvard and the Phoenix, I really had a lot of really great intelligent support and guidance and mentors to become a good writer. And that was really a fantastic time.
Okay, that's awesome. And that kind of, well, you shed a little bit more light on me and your backstory a little bit. And I haven't forgot. Let's test your newness to Detroit. I mean, you did all this. Now you're in the big motor. You've been here 4 months. Just a few yes or no questions. Do you have a Coney Island yet? Like, and don't give me the American Lafayette. That's touristy stuff.
No. Actually, at this moment, I wouldn't say I have one because I feel like I'm still in the exploratory stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like Columbus.
There you go. I'm a Roberts guy. But.
And I like Columbus because I like the people who work there. They're very good to me. They're very sincere and genuine. And I
okay.
like that.
I'm a Roberts guy. Like my
where is that?
Roberts, think East 7 Mile.
Okay.
I mean, cheap plugs is proud sponsor of the pocket. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I'm a Roberts guy. Or if I'm in a pinch, Coney time. That is 7 and like Hayes.
I just went today to BB's.
Mm-hmm.
On 7 Mile and at another cross street.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Burger, and it was so good.
See, but that's the thing. And that's what. That's one thing I was thinking about on the drive here, where it's just like, maybe it's cool to have a person not exactly from here running the show, because your opinions are ridiculously unobjective, because you're not grown into whatever, for lack of a better term, prejudices that you may have because of what part of Detroit you grew up from. Like,
I don't carry any of that.
Huh?
I don't carry any of that.
Well, you don't. Like, a lot... So a lot of this stuff, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've read some of the stuff you personally wrote for Metro Times. I guess a lot of that stuff is your first experience dealing with something. Like, I've read a few of the reviews at if the Key Lime Pie Place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I'm guessing, mind you, that was, like, your first time there, or?
Yeah, it's, That key lime pie is delicious. As rightfully raw, it's hard to find a good key lime pie anyway, but I'm also gluten-free, and this key lime pie is vegan,
mm-hmm.
and it's raw, and it's gluten-free, no soy, no dairy, and it's just delicious.
And that's what I'm getting at. Like, I understand this is an audio medium, but how your face just, like, lit up a minute ago, where you were just kind of like, oh, yeah, we're talking pie? Oh, hell yeah, go to this place. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there, where... Now, don't get me wrong, you come from a very awesome pedigree of writers and journalists and stuff like that. So, when you come here, did you have any reservations, or was it just kind of like, oh, please, what was your decision process? Because I'm very curious, what the hell was your decision process?
I wanted to come to Detroit. I wanted to. I've been wanting to come here for a while, but I wanted to come here and be here in a way where I felt good, where mm-hmm. it felt right,
okay.
where I could contribute to the city and where I could also, you know, represent the city.
Okay.
And not like, I didn't want to come here and struggle. I didn't want to come here, struggle to find work,
mm-hmm.
struggle to pitch stories.
Well, you handled
struggle
that one.
Freelance. I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to come here and do it right and do it good. Be good to the city and for the city.
And you have done that in your short time that you're here. Like, not a bad word was said. Like, oh my God. Like, sometimes you could get a vibe from people where you're just kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. Like I said, minimal research. Check your tweets. We follow each other on Twitter. And it's just kind of like, hey, check this out. Hey, I'm having a good time. You got a team yet? Or are you still kind of like Boston Strong, a little New York in you, your Sox girl?
I got to tell you, New York was my home for a long time. New York was very, very good to me.
And I say this while I'm wearing the Detroit hat.
I love New York City. But I got to tell you, I got to admit, sometimes I feel like I'm cheating on New York with Detroit. And I'm starting to feel like maybe I was cheating on Detroit with New York City for all that time. Because I love Detroit. And Detroit is my home. I know I've only been here for 4 months, but Detroit is my home.
Okay. I mean, just off the top, I have no knowledge of this, but I was like, oh, she's a baseball girl. Immediately, I don't know what it is about. Are you?
I do enjoy baseball. In fact, I was just thinking I got to go see Yankees at the Tigers next week.
Yeah, that's like next week, yeah.
Derek Jeter's last time in Comerica Park.
That may be the first and last time I willingly cheer for Jeter. Like I always cheer for Jeter in when off season I respect Jeter. I'm like, yeah, he's a captain, blah blah blah, but during the season, no, because they had a good run at it and then somehow you guys totally messed that up. You had a good run 2 weeks ago.
You know, when you say you guys,
mm-hmm.
I'm a Tigers fan.
Okay.
And even when I was in New York City, you know, I still root for the Tigers. I saw the last game I ever went to in the last Yankee Stadium, the old one that's no longer there.
Right.
I went and I saw the Tigers play the Yankees in Yankee Stadium.
That's before Granderson moved over there.
Oh, Granderson was playing. Granderson was playing with the Yankees at that time.
Right.
And I rooted for the Tigers in that game, in the bleacher seats. And Yankee fans are so cool; they respected that. And that is not something that I could ever get away with in Fenway Park.
I was just about to get that. Yeah, you couldn't do that rooting for the Sox.
Boston's a whole other baseball story.
Yeah, it is.
Fan story, different game.
Like, here's the deal with Boston fans. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you play for Boston, and this goes football, baseball, whatever. If you play for Boston, they love you. They love you.
Unconditionally.
The second you leave, you're a bum. They never heard of you. I've seen it way too many times.
When I first got to Boston, I had a Mets hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I can get away with my Mets hat here. They're not the Yankees. And so I wear my Mets hat out one day, and I learned very quickly, mm-hmm. within minutes, that there was a game in 1986 that apparently the Red Sox mm-hmm. lost to the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was advised I should not wear my Mets hat.
No, you should not.
So
it's a different
vibe. But here, like you just talked about Jeter.
Yeah.
Jeter's from Kalamazoo.
I know.
And people, I feel like here can respect. They'll respect another player. They'll respect his sportsmanship. They'll respect his demeanor. They'll respect how he plays the game. They'll still be Tigers fans, but they recognize.
Yeah, greatness. and that's what I was getting at. Where it was, I respect him, but we going for the AL right now. We in second place. Like you could,
messing around.
We'll have this conversation in November. All right, now I got that vibe off of you that you are, you know, you're a baseball girl. I'm very curious. I'm just going to make it about you now. Like, you've been here. This is summer in the D. You're having a good time right before. This is horrible thing that happens every year here. It's called winter. We have two seasons, winter and construction. Just, I'm pretty sure you figured, well, you figured that one out on the way here.
I am familiar.
Okay. But what I'm getting at here is, have you been welcomed in? Have you been, like, treated like the new girl a little bit, or how long?
You know, I have been just so welcomed. Everybody has been so welcoming and welcomed me home, which is means a lot to me, and I feel it in my heart. Detroit's always been in my heart. Even when I was a little girl growing up in Michigan, even though I was in rural Michigan, coming here was in my heart. And for me, this does feel like going
okay. home. All right, the reason I ask is because sometimes we have that vibe, too, where we can be like, oh, you left? Oh, okay. And then we kind of got to, like, welcome you back in the hard way, where it's kind of almost like a weird trial by fire. But, we're pretty fair. We're pretty fair. In your return, I can call it that. In your return, what did you find that, other than the job thing? I mean, we're going to get on that in a minute. What else did you find that was just a form of camaraderie or like, hey, welcome back. We never miss you type of vibe.
You know, I think I've received so much kindness from people and sincerity. A lot of people, like, I've only been here 4 months.
Yeah.
And people say, I can't believe you've only been here 4 months. Like, you've been here longer than that. Like, they say to me, it feels like I've always been here. And that is such a deep compliment to me because I haven't always been here.
No, you have not.
But, and I know I haven't always been here. So I'm still, like, every now and then I experience some cultural whiplash. I still call
like
pop,
what?
I call pop soda. So every time I ask for a soda.
Yeah, we, yeah.
I get, you know.
And I see.
Like I got a horn growing out of my head.
Yeah, yeah. But I see a little of that accent coming out, like a little bit. Did you curb it or?
I'm working on it. It does come out sometimes.
Are you intentionally doing it or?
Oh, no. It just kind of flows out.
No, what I mean, like intentionally not making it.
I am trying to tone it down and be cognizant of what I'm saying. And
really?
Speak more clearly. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, I get it. But, you know, that's probably, I mean, just my language.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to speak the language of where you're at. Well, with the people that you're with.
Well, I got family in the South, so every time, like, I don't have a draw at all. But when I go back to the South, it comes out very, very slowly. I don't mean to do it. It just comes out. So I would imagine, and even when I'm there, I have to try harder for it not to show up. Like, one of the things, I think I'm good at it now, the only way it's going to come out if I'm not cognizant of it or if I've been drinking. I mean, that's the only way it's going to show back up where I'm just being honest with you. But, okay, let's get back to Metro Times. The Metro Times family, you came at a very interesting time. I talk about the merger because I guess I could kind of sort of say it because I'm talking to the head chief right here. I was a real Detroit guy. I read Metro Times, but if I had gun to head, if I had to pick one, Real Detroit, mainly because I like the journalism of Real Detroit, of like they will go like hard in some hard hitting areas and stories. But I like Metro Times mainly because you guys were in the middle of everything. I don't know, I don't know if this is before your time. I don't know, yeah. But now that you have this marriage between the two, this super paper where you see both elements shine. Being in the middle of everything versus hard-hitting journalism, is there kind of like a division in yourself who kind of sort of come from that super hard-hitting journalism thing? Like, I want to talk a little bit about your High Times life, but let's just get into it. Do you favor different sides?
I think what Metro Times did well before I came here was some very good investigative journalism. Metro Times had Kurt Guyette for 18 years doing fantastic.
Like I said, in the middle of everything, you know?
Real Detroit, I think, did music and local, what's happening in the local music scene very well. It's exciting to have both of those things together. Because ideally, I think in the alt-weekly world, you want to have good entertainment coverage, and you also want to give people something of substance to read and to experience and to understand what's going on in their cities and in their towns. And being a weekly, we have the ability to really dive into a topic at a level that a daily doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we did a breakdown of Illich's Red Wings Arena deal. It was, I think, a 9 or 10 page epic story of a very complex financial transaction over the course of 30 years. And it's to begin with, it's complex. We have a great investigative journalist who broke everything down and did the research.
Okay.
Wrote it out. And people spent time with that story. It wasn't something that a lot of people sat down and read in one swoop. A lot of people told me that they kept the issue with them and read it over the course of a week.
I was one of those people. I didn't really take it in right then and there. I just kind of like read it, and then I read it again as I start noticing things throughout the week. Actually, I think if you dig hard enough, it's somewhere in my house somewhere.
And that, to me, is exactly what is cool about Metro Times, what's important about Metro Times, and what we give. What we can give to people. And people do care. They will spend a week or more with something when it's important, and that they understand understand it's something that they need to understand, or that they need to be aware of, and that it concerns them. And the land concerns them. The land that the city is on, there's so much of it, it's people, I think, forget about it, but it is important.
Okay.
And that earth is important. And what becomes of it, how it's cared for, who's developing it, how is it developing it, our tax dollars, how are those being used? These are important issues. And unfortunately, it's difficult to understand those things. Whether that's intentional or not is kind of irrelevant. It's important. And then so how do we take that information? How do we break it down? How do we let Detroiters know what's really going on, what's really happening, and how it impacts them?
I got to be honest. I am learning a lot just sitting here from you as you break down. This is a free podcast. Nah, I wouldn't sit back and think about that for a second. You could probably teach a class off that, of what you just said. But one thing I do want to hit on, too. I'm not shortcutting that, but the other side of it, when you talked about Real Detroit, how they did great with music, which is, to some degree, vital for a guy like me, because it's a radio, you know, it's a podcast. Yeah, it is, but we have musical acts on there, and a lot of the musical people I would see before my research, I would look at Real Detroit, now Metro Times, where I'm like, huh, let me look at these people. Let me look at this. And a lot of them have been on this show, and they got a chance to sit down and talk about their music. Now, I ask you the million-dollar question, Mal. Any Detroit artists that you happen to like lately? Because you're in the center of it, just kind of like I am.
I'm still learning. I've been here 4 months again, so
I understand.
I've only been exposed to Detroit artists for a short amount of time.
Anybody sticks out?
The level of talent that is coming out of this city right now is awesome. And the heart that is being put into music, especially hip-hop, is just out of this world and very, 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 very cool. I enjoy it very much. I like, I guess if I had to name one person, I'd give a shout out to Meek Love Rhodes.
Ooh.
I think she's where it's at.
Yeah, I like her too. I mean, I know you listen. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if she is or not, but yeah, I do like her too. I do like her stuff, and cool. It's just a nice little shout out that you get from the, you know.
Well, you know, I had the privilege of interviewing Trick Trick, and he talked about how, you know, Detroit he compared Detroit to a rose, and it's trying to grow up out of the sidewalk, and people, they step on it, and they kind of abuse it, walk all over it.
Well, yeah, because I agree with Trick Trick. Yeah, we're the it guys now. Like, everybody need a person to point at and say, hey, don't be that guy. And I mean, I'm sure you've seen this happened with New York, this happened with Chicago, this happens with St. Louis, Cleveland. I think it's just our turn now.
I think there's something special about Detroit that makes that separates it and makes it different from a lot of those places. Like New York was in the 70s bankrupt, and
the smell.
And but what's here now, and the spirit and the soul that is here now, it's transformational. It is special, and it's a treasure. It should be honored and respected.
Hey, I agree with that wholeheartedly, mainly because it should be on all the grounds. And quite honestly, we don't die. I mean, like, just as Detroiters as a whole, we... Yeah, the thing a few years ago with the Big Three sucked. I'll be the first one to tell you. But we didn't go away. We still churned out something else. We still did something. It's not always... Well, granted, it is the Motor City. I'm not going to lie to you. It hurt.
We're still making music.
But we're still making music. There's Motown, the other part of it, too. See? You loosen up a little bit. How's this podcast going so far?
Good.
All right, dear. See? It's a hang. It's not necessarily an interview. It's barely an interview because I'm asking questions. But it's a hang. You see how you're getting comfortable? That's the podcast. That is that simple. But speaking of hangs, let's talk about your time at High Times. Like, I'm shooting for second. That's just my mindset coming into this thing because I have done some homework on some of the stuff you wrote for High Times. Now, here's something that's very interesting. Now, if you want me to not talk about this, I'm totally cool with bleeping this part out. But when I was in high school, I watched a short film called The War on the War on Drugs where a certain young lady... Granted, you wasn't in there a whole lot. You had a small little snippet. Well, you were very outspoken, young lady. Want to just get into that right now? Because
I was briefly in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was a funny one of the first features. It might be the first feature or documentary by a man named Kevin Soling,
mm-hmm.
Who's done some fantastic work since then. And I encourage you to check him out. Cevin Soling is Soling.
Uh-huh.
Great filmmaker. But at that time, before I became a journalist, I'll tell you the story how I became a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like the war on drugs. The war on drugs needs to end. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
And I grew up, I figured that out at a very early age. And
Reagan baby.
What's that?
You a Reagan baby?
I am a Reagan baby.
And, me too, so
just say no. You know, I remember somebody, a cop coming into my classroom when I was about 8 years old and telling me how bad drugs were. And if I saw anybody, like my mom or dad or older brother or sister using marijuana, I had to tell the police officer or the teacher because it could kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, why would my mom or dad use something that would kill them? And, you know, poison ivy...
Yeah.
It's really a fucked up plant, and like, why isn't that illegal? Like, I had all these questions that made mm-hmm. no sense to me. And then I wrote a letter to Reagan about that age, and it was probably about world peace or something.
Mm-hmm.
The letter I got back was all about saying no to drugs. And it made me so mad, because Reagan hadn't even read my letter. And it had nothing, and my letter wasn't about drugs, my letter was about something completely different. And so it started to like really, at an early age, make me question things.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward... when I was about 14, I realized I didn't live in a free country when you could go to jail for a very long time for a fucking plant.
Yeah.
That was a weed. Basically a weed. I figured that out. When I figured that out, it was a very pivotal moment in my life. It felt like the world shifted
mm-hmm.
and kind of like a curtain dropped or something, and I saw how not free we were. And it was such a disappointment to me because I'd always grown up thinking I lived in a free country. So I felt lied to. And I felt betrayed by mm-hmm. my country. And so from that moment forward, I was 14, I wanted to end the war on drugs.
Okay.
When I got to New York, I had a really good job bartending.
Okay.
And I thought, what can I do to end the war on drugs? So I found Normal. This was before the internet.
Yeah.
And there was no Normal chapter in New York, and they said you should contact this organization called Partnership for Responsible Drug Information.
Okay.
So I did, and I started volunteering with them. And we worked to get information out about the war on drugs that was different from, like, the government's perspective. Part of that was working with the media. And, mm-hmm. and from there, I went on to work with the Marijuana Policy Project, which has done a lot of great work legalizing marijuana across the country, decriminalizing medical marijuana. I was on the board of Students for Sensible Drug Policy, which mm-hmm. is the world's largest student organization working to end the war on drugs. I was on the board of Flex Your Rights.
That letter piss you off. just looking at you right now.
It was so, well, you know, it was a constructive, all of this, especially when I was young, it was about finding a constructive outlet for my anger. Because I was pissed. Like, you're putting people in jail for nothing.
Yeah.
You're wasting their lives. You're wasting our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And you're hurting people. That's not freedom. It's not freedom when we have the highest prison population on earth.
Yeah.
So all of this anger that I had towards that, I wanted to do something good with it. And so I did. So I was doing this. And then as time went on, and I worked with Flex Rights, which was a Fourth Amendment organization. They teach you how to deal with the police and exercise your Fourth Amendment against illegal searches and seizures.
Okay.
It's a great organization. They produced a film. I think you can see it on YouTube now. It's called Busted.
Okay.
So I think you can just YouTube Flex Your Rights and it'll come
sure.
up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's a great organization. So then but the more I worked on the issue, especially in New York at the time, we had what was called the Rockefeller drug laws. And they have mandatory minimum sentencing for different amounts of drugs.
Okay.
And the judge adheres to these mandatory minimum sentences regardless of the circumstance of the crime. Crime, which is, I put in quotes, because
yeah.
nonviolent offenses, I mean, you could say I'm going to outlaw salt, and then anybody with possession of salt is now a criminal, right?
Exactly.
So there was a lot of politics around these things. And rather than calling for a total repeal of those laws,
They got a chance to pick and choose.
Well, there was like all this like negotiation. Oh, we're going to, you know, instead of being 15 to life, we'll make it 10 to 15. Or instead of, you know, 10 to 12, we'll make it 7 to 10. And these kinds of reforms were championed as solutions. And my perspective was, you don't fucking play politics with people's lives.
Exactly.
These are human beings, primarily people of color, who are doing time
mm-hmm.
for nonviolent, quote, crime.
Rhymes.
And then you're not only hurting them, you're hurting their families, you're hurting their mothers, you're hurting their children, you're hurting their grandparents, you're hurting everybody.
The only thing you're really going to hurt on weed is Oreos. I mean, that's just the only thing.
And even other types of harder drugs, a public health approach trumps criminal justice approach.
Okay.
You know, because there's other things going on, poverty, mental health issues, those two primary issues there.
Okay.
You know, so I was very frustrated with that, and with kind of like this playing politics with people's lives is how I viewed it.
Okay.
And I was on my way to Mexico, and
Wait, you were just done with the U.S. as a whole?
Well, I was actually going down with another friend who was a journalist, too.
Okay, all right.
Checking Mexico out. But fortuitously, before I left, I had a friend of mine came into town who knew the news editor at that time, Steve Wishnia of High Times Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you should come have dinner with us tonight. And I said, okay. So I went to dinner with them, and we were all talking, and I was explaining I was going to Mexico. And our mutual friend said, Steve, you should have Valerie do a story for High Times while she's in Mexico. And he said, that's a great idea. You want to write a story for us while you're in Mexico?
Okay.
And I said, yes, I do. And I did. And so that's how I started writing for High Times.
Okay. All of this, I mean, all of that anger came from a very, very negative thing, but it ended up turning to a very positive thing because you have championed a lot of rights and a lot of stuff. And it's part of a revolution of, like, hey, this law is totally full of shit. So a lot of that stuff have been a little bit more laid back because now we live in a world with marijuana dispensaries. We live in a world where it's okay to kind of decriminalize it because, like, a lot of people start thinking, and I'm pretty sure you were a strong advocate of that, like, what is it really hurting? The only thing I, like, me personally, I'm a drinker. I did weed for like 2 weeks until I had an intervention with my friends and they said, never smoke weed again. And not because I'm a bad weed guy. No, excuse me, let me rephrase that. Because I am a bad weed guy. I'm the guy who shows up and totally ruins everyone else's highs because I can't stop talking. Sorry. They want to sit down. They're so stereotypical. They want to sit down, watch Wizard of Oz, look at different movies and stuff like that. Meanwhile, I'm like super creative. I'm amped. Now I want to talk. And it was a total mismatch for us. So, yeah, I totally get it. I take it. You champion for the rights as well. Yeah, you. What type of smoker are you?
I don't smoke.
Okay. You just fight for the rights.
Well, at this time, like, I entered media. I still do. We do cover drugs and drug policy mm-hmm. in Metro Times.
No judging. I just want to say that now. I'm not judging.
No, that's okay. But it's not. I'm not a smoker. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I went from being in the nonprofit sector to the media sector was because I felt like it gave a little bit more freedom to be honest about the policies and their impacts on their impact on people.
So, and school me on this because I'm ridiculously ignorant on this. So, if you're in the nonprofit sector and you're speaking out against something, do you have that stigma on you? Because since that is the thing you represent, everything you say comes with kind of like a grain of salt because you have to champion whatever you're for.
I think that when I was in the drug policy reform movement 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it was much different than it is today. 20 years ago, the idea of legalizing marijuana, people thought was stupid.
Yeah.
And I would tell people that that's what I was working to do, and they thought that that's ridiculous. There's no way that'll ever happen. And look at where we're at today. We have two states that have legalized. Michigan has... we have medical marijuana. We have numerous jurisdictions within the state that have decriminalized. So obviously, it's not impossible. And I think the people who work to reform drug laws now, I think, are given much more respect than they were 20 years ago.
And quite honestly, they're given a lot more information that you may have not been able to get 20 years ago. Where you get a chance to sit down and you can make case studies and you can show the real effects instead of what I think is the effect and just having only the data that goes with my side of the story pushed in front of you.
Yeah, the internet has done a lot to make the world a lot smaller,
mm-hmm.
to help foster some compassion with people and understanding with people, which has been really good. And to also to kind of see things in a different light. And it's really easy to make judgments about people and situations when you see them as one-dimensional or when you don't feel connected to them or don't know the whole story. When you do know a whole story and you do see them as humans, it changes your thought process.
Yeah, it has to, because people just as a whole are multi-sided. I mean, just you can't be one-dimensional anymore because... Well, we don't allow it to. That's just how the world is. You know what I mean? I mean, even in the sense of this is such a juvenile example, but this is all I got right now. Look at horror movies now. Like, when you watch a horror movie, it's not like, oh, big bad monster coming to get me. No, there's usually an origin part of, like, how did this monster get this way? Like, they redid Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I was watching that like, you know what, Leatherface kind of has a point. He kind of has a point. I'm watching this monster that I've grown up with all my life and was just like, this guy, if met with, will kill me. Like, I'm watching the new Jasons. I'm just kind of like, oh, that's why he did it. Okay. But that's what I mean by a multi-sided humanoid look that we have now. Where, sometimes the thing that is a monster in your fight, marijuana, sorry, is now we can look at it like, hey, I have some very good friends who they owe it to marijuana to get past cancer, man.
Yeah, it's hard to be hard to want to criminalize your grandmother or your father when they're using it.
Exactly.
You know.
So there you go. You got a little freedom fighter in you. When you're not fighting for a cause, writing for roughly hundreds of thousands of people, getting yelled at Sox games. What does a young lady like yourself do for fun?
I talk to people. I enjoy talking to people.
This is the right show for it.
I do. I very much enjoy meeting people and just speaking with them. And
mm-hmm. Anybody that you, in your short time, relatively, I have to use like relatively now, your relatively short time here, anything stick out to you or anything you're looking forward to try?
I just love this city so much. I love just driving around. I love just driving around. I love just riding my bike around. I love mm-hmm. just seeing it, feeling it. The feeling of Detroit is very special. It's very unique.
Okay.
And it's deep.
It is. I mean, like, hearing you say that, like, it's weird, like, because I think, I don't know what the statute of limitation is, but, like, I think you got to be 6 months into it before we start referring to you, before we stop referring to you as the new girl. And you already kind of got that vibe already, so it's weird. Like, you haven't even passed the line where you're like, oh, she's new. Like, almost like a school, you know, when you're the new girl until the new girl comes. That's what you are right now. There's no other new girl where we could just point at and say that's the new girl. No, that's you right now.
All right. I haven't heard that one, but all right.
Oh, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
But yeah, I should have did this at the beginning, but we're getting close to an hour. We're almost done. I should have done this in the beginning. Your social media information. For anybody who want to just see some of the things on social media, you're on Twitter.
I am on Twitter. You can follow me at AskTheDuchess.
I'm curious about that. Where did that come from, the Duchess?
The Duchess is my name.
You're royal?
It's my name. I do use it. I use it when I go to get coffee. I use it because I'll tell you how I got it. I haven't shared the story with anyone.
Okay, but I'll please. I love it when stories start that way. I haven't shared that with anybody before.
I've never shared this story before.
Please.
But there's a comedy writer who is pretty well known. He's written for a lot of great comedians, and he's written a lot of great TV shows, you mm-hmm. know, for people on TV. And,
right.
He's also a big fan of the blues, as am I. Mm-hmm. And we were speaking one day, and he was telling me about his trip down to the Mississippi Delta and Parchment Farms. And it was just such a beautiful conversation. And we were talking about blues names and how these people get their great names, right?
Right.
They've got amazing names. And I said, well, what would my blues name be? And he just said, you're the Duchess. He just said it like it just came out just like that. You said, you're the Duchess. The name like Vandepan? You're a Duchess. And I said, all right. He said, it's royal, and that's you. And I said, okay, I'll take it. So that's been my blues name and the name that I use ever since.
Oh,
and
my God.
I feel like it fits me, and I feel comfortable with it. And he gave it to me. I respect him and his work a lot and his perspective. So I receive it.
So,
it's my blues name.
So now your blues name, you just like opened up like 8 more questions for me. Do you play the blues or do you play an instrument or anything like that?
I dance the blues.
Oh, please elaborate.
You dance the blues.
Well, I'm curious of how you do it. Please.
Well, I'm not going to demonstrate.
Well, it's an audio medium. No one can see you, but, so you're good.
But yeah,
when you feel it, you just start. You just start. Any favorite song that you like?
The thing I like about the blues is the manipulation of time with the
okay.
music. I feel, you know, the time isn't like, it's not a steady beat. There's a
right.
rhythm, but it's time gets manipulated with it. I think that's what makes the blues the blues.
Exactly. You could go slower. Yeah. You could speed it up at some parts. Yeah. And then you could bring it back down. Yeah.
It's a very emotional thing. And I think that's what dance is. And I mm-hmm. think to connect with the music and feel it, it's the soul right there. It's the expression of the soul and the self.
Okay.
It's fantastic. So,
do you, like I said, you sparked a few more things. I understand you dance to blues, a little slow dance, probably swaying, probably a little of that, but
I'll tell you something else.
I'm curious.
There's a whole, like, in Boston, there's a very large blues dancing community. Probably bigger, one of the bigger blues dancing communities in the country.
I want to research this so bad.
Because there's also in New York, San Francisco, Seattle.
Like, here, I don't know. I did not know this because even on this podcast, I have on record where I'm saying it's the only music you can't dance to. You just sit there. I appreciate it, but
you
don't.
Dance to
it. You don't. I've never seen it, so I want to research this thing.
You've never seen like in a jukebox, juke joint down south.
Yeah,
dancing to blues.
But that's not really
deep soul.
Well, see, soul and blues is different. I get to swing and I get to slow dance, but a lot of times where you hear the you hear the song, I got the blues, I got the blues, I got the blank, 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 blank blues. You listen to the song because there's a story to go to it. I got an idea. Alright, like I said, we're supposed to be closing this thing up a little bit. Want to make a quick blues song?
What's that?
Want to make, yeah, you heard me. Quick blues song.
Do I want to make a quick
blues
song?
Yeah, let's do it. But let's just, I don't have... Doom, 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 doom. I got the blues. Come on.
Oh, I don't sing the blues.
I got the blues. I got the, I'm almost running out of my smoothie blues.
I got the blues.
I got the blues.
I got the, I can't sing blues. That's why I dance. Lord.
Oh, man. This has been such a great podcast. Did you have fun?
Very much so, Sam. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Wasn't that an awesome interview? Man, I learned so, so much. I can't thank Valerie again. Big V! BVP! Coming in to the podcast, having a great time. As always, you can reach her on the tweets at Twitter, Ask the Duchess. We all found out why she's called the Duchess. And by all means, whatever you're doing, if you stay in the Metro Detroit area, please check out the Metro Times every Wednesday. It's some new hot stuff that she got ready for you. She's working hard for you. And quite honestly, she earned my respect. Now, I'm pretty sure she gained yours. She's doing an awesome job there, and I can't thank her enough for being a guest on my podcast. As always, you can catch the podcast here every Sunday. And I can't thank my guests enough. All things related to the podcast, you can reach us at samshownation.com. You can also find me on the tweets at samshow11. Instagram, Just Talk With Sam, as well as Facebook, Just Talk With Sam. This was such a great interview. I'm glad that I was able to talk to a young lady like herself who has a head on strong, knows what she's doing, and just really, really, really making Detroit a better place. She's totally welcome on this podcast anytime she wants. So that's enough of my yapping this week. I want to say thanks to one more time to Valerie for coming out. Thanks to you guys for listening. And I will see you guys next week. Peace out, y'all.